Got your Bibles there, please turn with us to James chapter 5. James is drawing near to the end of his letter to these believers who were scattered all around Asia Minor. As he comes to the end of it, he's trying to help the disciples to cope with the seemingly capricious nature of life. There are good days and there are bad days. There are all kinds of situations. Sorry, the sound guys were just waving about something and I thought they were waving to me. That's what threw me. It's all right. Let's look at verse 13. Look what he says in that verse. Are any among you suffering? Are any among you cheerful? Between those two bookends is all the eventualities and all the experiences of life, isn't it? And so he gives them these very practical directives as to how they can function among themselves as these little churches scattered around. And basically, there are four things that I want us to pick up over the next 2 weeks. We'll do them in 2 weeks. Firstly, he encourages them to be a singing church. Secondly, he encourages them to be a praying church. Thirdly, he encourages them to be a confessing church. And then finally, he says, that will mean that you will be a healing church. Those four things I want us to look at. Let's start off just, though, at the beginning. If we're suffering, we pray. If we're cheerful, we sing. That's about as simple as it can be, isn't it? Let's start with the singing first. He encourages them to be a singing church. And I guess we would say, well, you know, every church is a singing church. Singing is a sort of a functional part of our worship service. What would we do if we don't have singing? I often wonder sometimes whether we should have a Sabbath from singing and see what other ways we can worship God. But singing is a part of worship. The worship leader's big job during the week is to work out what songs are we going to have on Sunday. For the early church, and for these people that he is writing to, singing praises was not a functional element in their gatherings together. Singing was a spontaneous feature of the early disciples' lives. Praise was just bursting out of them. And the joy that they had through knowing the risen Lord found its expression in song. Let's just take a couple of examples. That passage that Ruby read out talked about rejoicing in the Lord. My translation says celebrate. Let's have a look at it in Philippians chapter 4. How seriously did the early church take that? Let's remember, Paul wrote Philippians in jail. It's one of his most joyous letters of all the letters that he wrote, and he's in jail in a stinking rotten prison. And he's rejoicing, he's encouraging his readers to rejoice. This one says, celebrate joyfully in the Lord all the time. I'll say it again, celebrate. Let everybody know how gentle and gracious you are. Isn't that a beautiful thing? To think of our lives as a celebration of life. That's the way it was. Let's look up at a few other passages to see where this celebration found itself expression in singing. 1 Corinthians Chapter 14, if we look there, he says a very interesting verse there and says, I will pray with the spirit and I'll pray with the mind as well. I will sing with the spirit and I will sing with the mind as well. And if you go down to verse 26, he says, so where does this leave us all, brothers and sisters? When we come together, one person has a psalm. One person has some teaching. Another has a revelation, another a tongue, and another some interpretation of that. Let everything be done for the general upbuilding. So ones would come with a psalm, and they would sing. It would just be this spontaneous overflow as the Spirit led them. Flip over to Ephesians chapter 5. There's a passage there in verse 19 of Ephesians 5 and talks about speak to one another in psalms, in hymns, and in spiritual songs, singing and chanting in your heart to the Lord. Always giving thanks for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus, the Messiah. Psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, they were just overflowing. That's the way they communicated with each other. That's the way they shared with each other. Again, Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3, verse 16. Let the King's word dwell richly among you as you teach and exhort one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs to God with grateful hearts. And whatever you do in word or action, do everything in the name of the Master Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father. So as I said, singing praises wasn't just a functional part of their gatherings, it was a spontaneous feature of their lives. That's first. And then the overflow of that, whether it's in their big gatherings, in their small gatherings, or if it's just when they're in their homes, when they're chopping wood or changing the baby's nappy, whatever. The spontaneous joy of the Lord that was in them began to overflow. And it was an inner joy that wasn't determined by their circumstances, as we said, Paul in Philippians. Look at Paul in another situation, Acts chapter 16. They've got into great trouble. People have come to the Lord. One girl who had a spirit of divination, and the authorities were using her, exploiting her to get rich. And God came into her life and delivered her miraculously. And the owners got very angry with that. They turned the town against them. Paul and Silas are thrown in jail. And they are thoroughly beaten, verse 23 says. When they had thoroughly beaten them, they threw them into prison and gave orders to the jailer to guard them securely. Now, I don't know if you've ever been thoroughly beaten. Some of us have been thoroughly beaten emotionally, and that's just as hard, perhaps harder, than being thoroughly beaten physically. But he's being thoroughly beaten. And then with that instruction, verse 24 says, he put him into the innermost part of the prison and he fastened their feet in the stocks, which meant they were bent over. Around midnight, verse 25 says, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God. And the prisoners were listening to them. So it's an inner joy that even in those kinds of circumstances, these disciples sang because their praise and their gratitude to God could not be contained. And therefore, it didn't need to be manipulated or coerced in any way. If we were to go down through the church history and see the great revivals, there's always an outbreaking of singing, an outbreaking of new songs, great inspiration spreads, and people, hard, tough miners or whoever, wherever they may have been, are sometimes singing with the tears cleaning courses down their coal faces as they're singing to the Lord for the freedom and the joy that he has brought into their life. When I was over in the Solomon Islands many, many, many years ago, and the revival had spread through many of the villages there, it was an incredible contrast to go into those villages. When we were coming in our dugout canoe, me and an Aboriginal fella from Australia went around all these islands in the time we were there. And as we'd come around the bend in the river, before we saw the village, we'd hear the singing. And I guess Phil and Fiona are very common with that kind of approach. But the singing that was there, and yet up in the hills, in the dark villages, as they called them, there was no singing. There was just fear. And in these gatherings together, worship leader had a really easy time, Matt. Didn't have to organise anything because people would just start singing. Someone would start over here. Paul would lean off in a song. Everyone would just, whoosh, join in with it. When that one went along, and then someone else up the back, they'd start another song. And then we'd go like that. And it would just ebb and flow back and forth. These people were not used to singing. Singing was not part of their culture. They were cannibals. The Lord had brought a joy into their life, and the spontaneity of that just overflowed with this wonderful singing. Let's go back to Ephesians 5 just for a sec. Wherever the Spirit is free to work, there will be singing. Wherever the Spirit is free to work, there will be singing. We said that in verse 19, didn't we? Speak to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and chanting in your heart to the Lord. Well, look at the verse before it. Don't get drunk with wine, for that way lies dissipation. Rather, be filled with the Spirit. And speak to each other in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and chanting in your heart to the Lord. Wherever the Spirit is at work, and wherever he's allowed to work, there will be singing. So, go back to James. He's encouraging them. If they're cheerful, sing psalms. He wants them to be a singing church. Also in those same verses, it talks about praying. He wants them to be a praying church. It seems the way he got it, are any of you suffering, let them pray. Are any of you cheerful, let them sing psalms, that we're either singing or praying. Things aren't going so well, well, we're praying. Things are going well, well, we're singing. And sometimes we're singing our prayers and sometimes we're praying our songs. It all just gets mished and mashed in there together, doesn't it? It's pretty clear. So he wants them to be a praying church. A praying church.